The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to I Disagree. I am Jordan Coburn.
And I am Steve Shustek.
Thank you, Steve. We're pronouncing everything this episode. I would like to start this over.
Not feeling that riff?
Actually, we're leaving it in. Right. Everybody, today is a day for public failure, and I'm starting it off right. I think that we have an exciting episode today. So we have a patron tier where you can come onto the podcast, right? And you get to come on for our main event. And as you know, that's like our last segment where we usually talk about something that's more consequential or like a bigger topic. And for this week, we have our first patron that's coming on the show. And we had such a good time talking to her, and she's been a fan of all the podcasts, and she's like super active on the Disagroupies page and Twitter, and she's just you've heard her.
I was gonna say, if you've listened to the show, you know who she is. She is our number one Disagree Mail contributor.
Yes, absolutely. And it was so good to see her in person when we were recording and to talk with her about all things California, as you'll see, we get to talking to, because Steve and her started that beef along with some of our other patrons when he was shitting on San Francisco. So we get to circle back on that. And the intention was to have the guests just be on the main event segment, but we had such a good time talking, it just didn't feel right to cut it off preemptively. So we're just going to dedicate the whole episode to our lovely patron, Claire, and we really hope that you enjoy it. Steve, do you want to say anything else?
No, let's let Claire Fox take it away.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We are here for our final segment, but first segment of having a patron come on the show. And that is a Patreon tier you can sign up for if you go to patreon.com/IDisagreePodcast. And you get to come on the show and you get to argue with Steve and I. And today, I can't think of a better first guest for us to have, everybody. You've heard her in I Disagree Mail. She's on the I Disagroupies page. Just, we freaking love interacting with her.
You've seen her face palm emoji?
Yes, you've seen the face palm emoji. Now we're seeing it in the flesh. And she's not a emoji, to my surprise. She's a real human. And her name is Claire Fox, everybody. Claire, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Claire.
What's up?
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Totally. Really, really exciting.
Yes, totally. It's very fun. I feel like we got a lot of people that are Steve is sporting the avatar name Eric Mickelson. So he's in spirit. We've got our patrons and listeners here in spirit that I'm sure are very excited to listen to this. And we wanted to this is our first time doing this. So we want to hear about you, Claire. Like, where are you from? What's your life?
Yeah, how'd you end up this way? Why are you?
Yeah, your political views, if you'd want to just give a little synopsis.
Yeah, sure. So I'm from Los Angeles, born and raised. I grew up in the Hollywood Hills. I went to Harvard Westlake, so I guess that's kind of bougie.
Yes.
Wait, what is Harvard?
Is that a high
school? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Harvard Westlake is a high school in Los Angeles.
This is what they do already. Fancy. This is what they do. They say, oh, I went to Harvard, and they kind of mumble through the Westlake part, and people are like, oh my God, no. Claire went to Harvard. Wow. Get out of here. I'm on to you already.
Okay.
Harvard and Westlake merged a long time ago, and so now it's one school. Harvard Westlake. But yeah, it's a fancy schmancy school. And then I went to the University of Pennsylvania, and I got my major was East Asian Studies and Mandarin Language.
You speak Mandarin?
So So as part of my getting my degree, I moved to Shanghai, and which was not the best place to go to speak Mandarin, by the way, because they have their own language. But that was right when they started really regulating the internet. And so while I was working there, translating the original version of World of Warcraft before it was distributed through Blizzard. Into English that we would all understand, as opposed to the English that they had put it into to begin with. My favorite translation that I saw was supposed to say, "Go over to the elevator," and the translation I was working with said, "Behold the ascension of man."
That's way better.
Yeah. I'm only calling elevators that now. Oh, did you take the Ascension of Man?
That's way better.
The Ascension of Man is broken. I'm stuck in the Ascension of Man. Please help me. So hot fire people.
So you're fluent in Mandarin.
No, I wouldn't say that anymore. Not at all. it's definitely a use it or lose it language. Mm-hmm. I could say that if people were having a very simple conversation about their health or pet, and I was listening to them in an elevator and they were from Beijing, then yes, I would understand them.
If you were in an Ascension of Man with them and they happen to be from Beijing.
Right.
So how long did you live there?
So I only lived there for 3 months.
See, do you hear this, Jordan? Mike Friedman lived there. I don't know if you heard the Mike Friedman episode, our comic friend Mike Friedman, who came on to talk about COVID in China like a couple months ago. He lived there for like 3 years, doesn't know a word of Chinese.
Not a lick.
Not a lick. We should have had you on for the damn Chinese COVID
episode. I know. That's literally what I was thinking. When she said that, I was like, fuck Mike, we should have had Claire on. I trust Claire to have a better understanding of what the hell's going on. Mike was over there just teaching kids how to speak English, refusing to change his ways.
Yeah, so I have a lot of thoughts about China, actually.
I'd love to hear it.
Well, you know, I majored in it, and I was hoping that it would be a place that would be kind of hospitable. And I know a lot of men who have moved there and gotten into business there, but As a woman who is Caucasian, basically it's a very isolating experience to go there. It's like straight out of Bill Murray. What was that?
Yeah, Lost in Translation.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. I really had no common way of connecting to everyone, and the women would just flock to the European men just in droves.
I've heard this.
And then if I were there, I was seen as like a threat.
Oh. Would anyone flock to you? Would the men flock to you?
No, because they have this notion in their mind that, you know, I would reject them.
Weird. So you're getting fucked on both sides.
Yeah. So it's very lonely. It's very lonely to be a Caucasian woman in China. If that's like an un-PC thing to say, I'm only speaking of my personal experience.
Yeah. Totally. That's so interesting.
It was back in the day when Facebook was open to people who were in the Ivy League. So there was no privacy controls. And so another Penn person who actually was living in China found me because she was experiencing similar complete loneliness.
Oh my God.
And we basically just did everything together.
Oh, that's sweet. And
I was her translator, and everyone would come up to me and tell me to tell her how pretty she was.
That's so funny. You know what? That's also funny because, not to be creepy, but like, you're a very beautiful person. So that's like so funny to just get sidelined over and over and over again.
It happened more than 5 or 6 times. I mean, it was, it like became a joke.
Dude, that's how I feel with my mom. I'm not even kidding. Just guys come up to us and then just flirt with my mom. They're like, also, how old's your sister? Like, they clearly know she's my fucking mom. I'm like, dude, obviously those tits have been sucked on by things other than men. So how about calm down?
Oh my goodness.
But yes, it's, I know, sorry, mom. Anyways, that's
speaking of which, that's I want to thank Jordan's mom for increasing her Patreon tier.
She did?
Yeah, she did, after you just called her out her titties.
Oh, thanks, Mom. Yeah,
thanks.
That's really nice.
Thanks, Jordan's mom.
That is. Yes. Okay, so we had a couple topics that we wanted to get into on the main event. For anyone that's been listening to the podcast, you may have heard the episode when Steve was shitting on San Francisco. Mm. And not only Claire, but also Raphael, our other patron, clapped back at him on Twitter and Facebook alike. And we're like, hey, shut the fuck up, basically. And so I'm all for that energy.
I'm
ready to clap back.
Of course, yes. Claire came much harder than the polite and mild-mannered Raphael Monterosa. Okay.
Yes.
Yes, I believe your opening line was "Shut the fuck up, Steve." So.
But isn't that the opening line?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. It's exactly what we're looking for. It designates it as exactly what it is, which is a disagree mail. But yeah, I think that'd be a good topic to circle back on because California, I mean, what is it? Like the 8th largest economy in the world or something?
I think it's the 5th.
Holy shit.
Every Californian loves reciting that statistic and is so proud of it too.
Well, you know, ultimately it's really not important because of the way that our tax dollars goes to, you know, funding states that have a much smaller and more, you know, less successful economy. So having that great economy that's so productive, we don't really reap the benefits of that.
Right. We're just helping out like fucking coattail states like Georgia, like Steve's fucking
state. I want to point out, I've lived in 3 states in my life and only one of them had an unreliable electrical grid in 2020. What kind of state is this?
But which one of them was hot?
Huh? Georgia and Hawaii and California. I've never lived somewhere that experiences winter.
I feel okay. This is a good actually. Well, since there's like wildfires and it is like a massive
That's
issue, I
think thing. That is the whole goddamn state on fire.
All right, one thing at a time. Right. I feel okay. This is because I think what you just brought up is a good starting topic, which is like. Like California gets shit on sometimes for not having the most perfect resource distribution, right? But like it's such a massive fucking state with so many people and it services so many different populations. And we have an insane climate, especially in the summer. I mean, the climate is, you know, relatively mild, but like when it comes to fires, it's not. It's one of the worst, if not the worst in the country. So
no, and this year is the craziest. It's the craziest weather. I'm a big weather person. I no matter where I've lived in California, I'm always checking the weather other places and wishing I was there. I'm just one of those. Grass is always greener. Uh-huh. And I have never experienced a weather flurry of craziness like this. I've never opened the forecast in regular Los Angeles. So forget about, you know, out near the valley.
Yeah.
And, like not there. Just normal. You know, central Los Angeles, and had it say 107 degrees.
It was 107 in LA?
It was 109, actually. God. But when I went on my run, it was 107.
Jeez. You ran in 107 degrees? Oh my God. That is so hardcore, dude.
Really slowly. Really slowly.
Yeah, some might call it a walk, but I maintain it's a slow run.
So where else in California have you lived, Claire? You've lived in LA and San Francisco, anywhere else?
So I've lived in LA and San Francisco. That's
in California. Okay. So the two main spots, and I guess San Diego would like be third place in terms of places that California would be known for.
Yeah, and I think San Diego is really interesting because where you guys live is somewhere I've never been. Even though I visited what you call San Diego a bunch of times, it was really like the exit's like Del Mar, but I think the place was Seal Beach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Solana Beach.
Oh,
Solana Beach.
Seal
that's
Beach.
Right.
Solana
that's
Beach.
Right.
Totally.
Long Beach, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Solana Beach. Solana
it's
Beach.
So California. I like to describe where it is by the exit and then everything else goes up. <out.
laughs> I know. That's so true. But yeah, I love Solana Beach. But yeah, that's like North County. I would count that as San Diego still. But
San Diego
but yeah.
County, but yeah, you're not within the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I never saw a person experiencing homelessness.
Mm. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Solana Beach. North County is definitely better when it comes to that stuff. They just like bus everybody to the south, essentially. But they do. They're like, this
they
is
must.
Del Mar. No, thank you. And then they freaking send everyone down. It's bad. But Steve has shit with San Francisco, probably more so than LA or San Diego, correct?
San Francisco is the worst city I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, let's start.
I've been
there.
Around. Like, I've been to Cleveland. I've been to Detroit. I've seen all the cities in our country that people say are shitty, that have the shitty reputations. Not nearly as bad as San Francisco. San Francisco is a nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
What? So I want to know what about it gives you that opinion, because I just can't even imagine how you arrived there.
Yes.
Okay. So again, I've been all over the country and a decent part of the world, you know what I'm saying? I've seen a lot of cities, and I had never in America seen a homeless baby before. I saw one the first half hour walking around downtown San Francisco. That's insane. Like, I've literally done what's it called?
And Steve, that's a very extremist argument. There are homeless babies.
Exactly. What kind of place has homeless babies? Like,
well, what I want to know is, did you know that the baby was real or not? Because it could have been a fake baby.
No, because this baby was crawling around on the sidewalk. And think, these are San Francisco city streets. So that means that baby had to put one hand on a piece of poop, another hand on a used heroin needle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the mom's just sitting there watching him crawl around holding the sign like, hey, I got a homeless baby. Give me money. And I'm looking around because, I live in downtown San Diego. I'm not some rube. I've seen homeless people before. I'm not like, oh my God, what's that? But I've never seen a homeless baby before. So I'm asking locals as they're walking by on the crosswalk, like, hey guys, what do y'all do when you see a homeless baby? Is there a number you can call? Like, what? Yo, check it out. There's a homeless baby. And the San Francisco locals looked at me like I was crazy. Like I was the one endangering a child. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of town it is. It's just a bunch of smug assholes living in like tiny little fucking apartments that they're paying $4 million a month for and being super smug about it and super proud that they live in this city. And I understand why they're proud. I get it. You can tell that that used to be an amazing city. You can tell. You can tell it has the potential to be even better than New York. It could be the greatest city in the world. And I think that's why it makes me so angry, because they just fucking squandered what they had. They just fucking wasted it. They trashed a fucking gem of a city. Mm.
Well, that was a beautiful rant with a bit of a plot twist at the end. Really, you're taking the Patriot stance. Then.
I am. I'm embarrassed by San Francisco as an American and as a Californian and as a citizen of Earth. I'm just like, what happened here?
Okay, so I was living there for 8 years and I never got to see the homeless baby. Maybe it grew up. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Now it's the mayor.
And I mean, if it was a tourist attraction, it's possible that I missed it just as a local.
Right. On principle, you would not have gone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm disappointed to hear it wasn't like smoking a cigarette or doing anything. Hey, you know,
who knows what happened when I turned away?
Really, really, really quick. I have to interject this. I have seen a woman. First off, people have babies, Steve.
But again, yeah. I understand that. But here's the thing. Like,
you can't hold a homeless baby against a whole city.
Yeah, I absolutely can. And I'll tell you why. Because do you see homeless babies anywhere else?
Yes, that's exactly what I was just going to say. San Diego.
Well,
I was going to Target the other day, and there was a woman who also had a baby, and she was presumably experiencing homelessness. Mm-hmm. And that's like, I think more just a consequence of being a human that fucks, is sometimes you have babies, and sometimes if you also don't have a home, then you will have a homeless baby. That says...
Right, it's not like the baby ran out of the house and was like, I just don't like being tied down to this place.
This is the same thing everybody was saying to me when I posted on Facebook. I'm not mad at the baby, guys. I'm not mad at, right. I'm just saying, if normally in a normal city, I mean, there's homelessness everywhere, but you never see homeless babies, because it's not like homeless babies don't exist, but when somebody sees one, they call a city service immediately, because that shit is completely unacceptable in polite
society. What you're saying is that
San Francisco don't give a fuck.
Social services should have come and taken the child away from the mother.
That's what you expect. Absolutely, okay. Yes. In that scenario,
What do you think about that, Claire?
I don't agree with that. I think that, you know, it's common for people to lose custody of their children if they have been sentenced to a crime, but poverty is specifically not punishable under our Constitution. in both California and federally.
It's not the
you're not allowed to have a vagrancy statute just because someone's like hanging out. It is poverty. I know that you have this opinion that mental illness is the reason why, you know, everybody's out on the street. And in San Francisco, I will say that we do have some of the most expressive mentally ill and most prone to exposing themselves.
Yes. That's the best way to phrase it.
I would say, really well proportionally divided throughout the city. They really spread themselves out. So you never really know when you're going to see a dick. Now, you can't confuse that, though, with festivals that are specifically geared for the purpose of showing your dick. Mm. My favorite accident that happened to me was I was drinking tea outside in one of the 1 out of 8 days where it's nice weather in San Francisco. And a man who was wearing only a cock ring was walking on stilts. And so I was up on the sidewalk and I was drinking my tea and I was facing sort of perpendicular to where his cock and the ring would be. And he stumbled a little bit on his stilts and his cock ring hit me in the face.
No!
With the cock?
Yes, with the cock.
Oh my God!
I don't think I would have noticed it as much without the ring. You know what I mean?
I'm not even going to say it.
Oh my God. Wait, that is such a perfect image story. Like, oh my God.
Dude, that's one of those San Francisco stories. It's like, it's such a quirky, fun, crazy town. Like these are
the Folsom Street Fair is where that would happen. And, you know, the fact that it happened to me is just, I just sort of saw it as like, welcome to San Francisco.
Right. That's one of those San Francisco things. Like, it's crazy and zany. And we don't even have to wear clothes here. People have cock rings and they're on stilts. That's one thing. That's one thing. That makes a city colorful and interesting. I understand that. But just letting a child crawl around on some dirty poop-laden heroin needle street.
I know.
Like, that's not
are
poverty.
We gonna
that's
judge
just straight neglect. That's criminal.
Okay. I'm not going to allow you to judge the fallen city based on your alleged experience of this homeless baby.
Well,
you don't even know if the
anecdote.
Baby was homeless.
True. That's such a great point.
It's almost worse if the baby wasn't homeless. That means the mom was running a scam with her little sign and is using her baby as a prop to get money off of strangers while her baby's crawling around on a dirty San Francisco street.
That sounds more plausible.
That's almost worse. I don't know which is worse, but either way, that's crazy. And the fact that I was pointing it out to locals and they looked at me like I was crazy told me everything I need to know about that town. Like right there.
Well, so you're saying the fact that people seemed relatively unfazed by this supposed homeless baby.
It's a fucking homeless baby.
Your God. So you're saying that the fact that these people were not as outraged by this as you are mm-hmm. is indicative of the fact that their whole city is fucked and they have zero adequate response to this homelessness crisis. That's what you walked away with after seeing that.
And the homeless baby is an encapsulation of my entire experience both times I've been to San Francisco. It is the craziest shit I have ever seen in my life. And the fact that it's so expensive, I'm just like, who lives here and thinks this makes sense?
Well, so one thing
I'll say is the weather's not even good.
The weather is not that good. You're right. But it's really close to places where the weather is really good.
Mm-hmm. So live there.
But except for where I was located, I was living so I could be close to work.
What neighborhood were you in, by the way?
I lived in Nob Hill, right at the top. Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess, like northwest of downtown?
It's actually, if it's shaped like this, downtown is there. So it's actually to the west directly. Because the city runs more east-west, there's the bay side and the ocean side. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My whole life in San Francisco existed within the one triangle from my house toward Marin and down to downtown. Mm-hmm. So it was like the tiniest. So I really didn't have You know, I don't like standing in line, so I would never go out to eat in the Mission mm-hmm. because just the concept of waiting for food while standing in line was just like, that's exhausting. Like, I don't want to roll the dice on whether I'm going to eat tonight just right. because of who's in front of me.
Yes.
You know, like, we ran out of, like, our udon with one hard-boiled egg in it. Yeah. Everyone else go home. So...
I feel like you're making a Steve point now.
No.
We're you're helping his case. Yeah.
No, we're not. No, but the point is that so San Francisco compared to Los Angeles, where I live now and where I'm from, I wouldn't say that San Francisco is the easiest place to access like all the different kinds of culture and shows and awesome. You know, San Francisco people would disagree, but in my opinion. You know, you can basically go out on any night in Los Angeles in the before times mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and meet the most random person and end up in the most random place, you know, having the best time mm-hmm. and somehow be in a mansion and on the beach mm-hmm. and be home and get fine. And mm-hmm. that's just like how it isn't. But in San Francisco, people are much more cliquey.
Mm.
So it's like, I need to know someone in your running club that... you invited me to, and then they all have to agree that I'm cool before maybe they call me back to do something with me once. You know?
Interesting. And is that
I feel like you're still helping my argument.
Right.
Wait, we're not. The thing about it is that I am a cyclist.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and cool. So when living there, you are seriously 20 minutes away from world-class biking.
Mm-hmm.
Like dirt road biking, mountain biking, whatever you're into, just across the bridge is the best and most beautiful you've ever seen. And mm-hmm. so, and the roads are perfect. And so, and when you walk around the city, there's really no view inside of San Francisco, unless you're staring down at a homeless baby, I guess, that isn't just completely gorgeous.
That's you know, a fact. I agree with you on that. The city is
no matter
gorgeous.
What,
and that's what makes me feel mad about it. They trashed it.
Who trashed it?
I guess the voters, I guess.
So the one thing that I found frustrating is we kept having this bill every election cycle that was to increase the amount of low-income housing. And I know that you had a strong opinion about that because it isn't really about low-income housing. It's about, like, get these people into shelters. Mm-hmm. And I kept being really frustrated because I would see projects that started as low-income housing. You know, they would be large-scale projects. And then the next thing I knew, they were like a Dignity Health or just another urgent care center.
What's a Dignity Health?
It's just like a healthcare. It's like insurance. It could be like any hospital that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
So what was it supposed to be? It's supposed to be
housing.
It was supposed to be housing. And then because this is what I think, I'm not sure, I'm not a real estate expert, but I think because the development was made with a nonprofit purpose in mind, the switching from housing to a...
Yeah.
And they don't earmark anything anymore. So the switch from a housing to a healthcare, urgent care center is not, you know, no one lied when they mm-hmm. were raising the funds. Nobody's like reallocating the money in a bad way. And so... seriously, like Starbucks, there were urgent care centers all over the place
mm-hmm.
and no housing. And I asked my godmother, who's actually, she works on mixed-use projects. So that's when some of the housing is subsidized mm-hmm. and the rest of the mm-hmm. housing, and it's a nice neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Developers in San Francisco, because they can be so picky and because they want to get such a huge return on their investment, they won't develop those projects.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up with this new housing, which is supposed to cause housing costs to go down overall, because the reason they're so high is just demand. Mm-hmm. People like to live close to work. And because of the shape of San Francisco mm-hmm. and the livable, more affordable places around it, it takes so long to get there if you're not there
mm-hmm.
already. So mm-hmm. they try to expand housing and you think, oh, this is going to be one of these mixed buildings where it's subsidized. And the developers never do it that way.
Yeah.
They just sell the units full price or rent them full price. And it just never works out. So it used to be easier, but in recent times, just with people wanting, you know, not in my backyard uh-huh. stuff and whatever, mm-hmm. it's just very, very hard to find any sort of reasonable housing mm-hmm. in San Francisco. But they did finally make a huge, I think it's called an old dog patch or something, a huge lot of apartments and apartments and apartments, and they're all housing.
That's and good.
They're almost open.
Yeah. Oh, great. That's it's the been thing. 10 years.
No. I saw that they have refrigerators in them and they're furnished. I just think that they haven't like cleared out all the dust or whatever.
Are the elevations of man in operation yet?
The ascensions of man. Yes, I never got to test the ascension of man. And I can tell you that because there's no people, because it's just a kind of a housing district and there's no people, there really aren't any people roaming around who are experiencing homelessness. And when there aren't, it makes a place in San Francisco really creepy to be around.
You're like, it's not homey right now, obviously.
No,
it's the same shit that people said when they finally cleaned up Times Square in New York, and now everybody's like, oh, New York's lost its grit. Well, it's lost all its color and care.
Times Square is the worst place on earth.
See what I'm saying? Why? Because you can take your family there now and it's safe and clean. Back in the 80s when it was like squeegee man and people were getting mugged and it was all dirty, it's like, this is the real New York. This is cool. This is a Scorsese movie. But now that it's like clean and friendly and you can like be safe there and take your family, you're like, oh, this place sucks. I don't understand.
This is what it is. It's seizure-inducing advertisements on every single building running different stuff at the same time. Uh-huh. And then like 15 guys dressed as Elmo who are dedicated their lives to molesting you in any way possible, from the front, from the back, coming around. I mean,
God,
there was
so
an
true.
Elmo and
it is
all
such
the
a nightmare.
All the hotels that are in that area that are seemingly reasonable priced, you know, they didn't redo any of the structures. You can smell the cigarette smoke just pouring through whatever horrible smell that they put in fake to try to, and all the air conditioning units are like
from the old peep shows. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you took one of those electric, like look
oh
at the
God,
cum
the
things
light.
On rods, I literally I went there a few times for my last job. The headquarters were there and I would just remain standing in my shoes covered in a bathrobe and just lean against the wall because the concept of even entering the bed was just indescribable. I just couldn't make myself do it. The scenario is running through my head. And you could just, the cigarette smell covered by the perfume and the way that they make the lobbies really dark so you won't notice that it's just like disgusting.
Yeah, they save on labor that way. They just make everything dimly lit and you don't have to actually keep anything in any sort of visible condition.
Well,
yeah, if you wanted to really get down to the man-made coronavirus, I would tell you that it came out of a Times Square hotel.
No. Oh,
that
actually,
reads. Yeah.
I was gonna say, am I correct in assuming then that we can shift Claire's defense of California to hating on New York?
That's fine.
You hate New York?
I got so much to say about New York City too. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, you agree on that then? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
I can do either equally. I love California. I lived in Philadelphia for 4 years. My mom's strategy. She made me and my brother both go as far away to college as possible so that we would both immediately return to California. And it worked. You know, we were there like graduation day and the next day on a plane.
Wow.
Yes.
So you lived in Pennsylvania. You lived in Philadelphia then.
Yeah.
That's actually a city I've never been to except for the airport. So I can't really speak on it, but were the streets anything like LA and San Francisco?
Really?
So there was just raving lunatics on every corner, on all the business districts and in all the neighborhoods.
Homeless babies everywhere.
You know, I can't recall the ratio of babies and regular people experiencing homelessness, but one thing that did used to make me really sad was it would be really cold outside, right? And you'd walk past and there'd be those vents in the sidewalk mm-hmm. where the train running under would, you know, make kind of heat go up and homeless people would be lying on there. And I'm talking about freezing.
God.
Philadelphia doesn't get extremely cold.
Yeah.
It's not like Minnesota or something. Mm-hmm. But they would be lying there. They'd be sharing blankets and lying on those. And I just always felt so horrible because, you know, here, you know, someone makes your day a little convenient because they whip out their dick And, you know, the worst is if you're walking uphill, because then you really got to make an effort to go away. I mean, luckily, my resident exposer one time actually exposed himself while peeing. That was really...
Oh, a double one. Yeah,
I think that's almost an assault. Birds.
But do you guys hear what we're saying? We're all acting like this is normal for civilized society.
He only came after me while I was going downhill.
Oh, well, fair enough.
And that's very easy.
Right, you had a head start.
Yeah. It's very important to wear tennis shoes.
Right, at all times. Yeah, just the force of acceleration really is helping you in your escape route. And okay, here's what I want to ask both of you.
Okay.
Is also I've totally gotten away with not disagreeing with Claire and being the amicable one, because I haven't expressed that I despise LA. I can't do it. LA. I can't. And I've just let Steve take all of this shit this whole
Why do you despise LA?
I mean, when I go, like, honestly, I can say that it probably says more about what I struggle with internally. But when I go there, the ego of that city just fucks my head up. And I'm like, fuck all of this. Granted, I go there under the pretense of trying to be like a stand up. And so that's just like a whole different scene, because it's like, half the comics aren't even comics. They're just people that are like trying to get their names known and their faces known and shit. And so the whole thing is just really disgusting. And it's like, you're not even funny. You're just there to just be, I really, really, really hate that. And like,
I think the problem is that you have not come to LA and hung out with me.
Yes. I've never had like a fun time in LA with people that don't kind of suck.
Like, I don't know why. I don't know where this gift came from. I don't even know what my right is to claim that I'm amazing at it. But what I've been told is that I am like the best wing woman, because there is just something in my brain where I'm around people and I'll be like, yeah, let's get into this VIP. Like,
yes,
let's get into this box in this game. And it's just purely by just having a conversation, jumping right into whatever everyone's talking about without having any nerves about it.
Yes, I love that.
And I think that something about growing up in Los Angeles, when you are told by your parents who are like, you will not be in entertainment because you have to make money because we will not support you.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you kind of have people coming into your life as your nannies or whatever, babysitters, and they're like, oh, I didn't make it in the 6 months. Like, when you're in Los Angeles, you can't get caught up in the fact that there's all these people that are trying to make a name for themselves, because there are so many failures around you. Just everyone is a failure. Even if they make it, it's like, oh, so you knew someone. You know, the whole thing about Harvey Weinstein is like, it's so disgusting, because it's literally the only way to get a job is to like get in with the in crowd. And for him, you know, the in crowd happens to have this very specific path,
yes.
You know, but that's, you know, it's impossible to get either a job in entertainment or in sports, like any kind of pro league, even in like the accounting department of pro team, without knowing people, because nepotism is like not, you know, frowned upon. It is the only way.
Yes.
And so when you live in LA and you know that, like when you went to school with like, you know, Spielberg's kids and like this and that, you just sort of realize like, you know, these are just people.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all a fucking joke.
It's that the talent rises to the top after the help that they've had from the people that keep pushing them there.
Yes,
and so the really important thing, I think, is just not take yourself seriously at all. Like, there's a lot of people that try to be like, I'm so pretty. And it's like, yep, that's all you are.
Yeah.
I see that. You are pretty.
Right. Right.
Way to go. I hope that you find the athlete that you hope makes it so that you can be comfortable and make a living.
I think this is why I feel bad about hating on LA too, because I know that LA is like this is LA way to say that. I know that LA is like
LA,
this
LA.
Like, obviously it's filled with beautiful people, and like, I mean, just some of the best art comes out of that city, and like, I totally understand those aspects of it. The grind to get there, though, makes me feel like art isn't even worth it. Because it's like, I see what people are doing, and it's just, it seems so soul-sucking. And then by the time you get to the spot where your art's disseminated in ways that are meaningful to you, what of you is even, like, left at that point? And that's entirely too much to put on a city. That's, like, not fair. That's not fair to do.
The city put it on itself. Right? You know, like, it's made itself as, like, the place you have to be in order to go, like, if you wanted to be in show business for real, you would be, like, living here, you'd be going to the Comedy Store, like, every single day. But then, you look at people who have made it, and what do they end up, like, Joe Rogan? Like, yeah, he might have 2 million people that like him every single day. And I don't respect a single fucking one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
He is not funny at all.
This is, I disagree, Claire.
Yeah, we both like Rogan.
Oh, God, I know. We do. We both like Rogan.
Well, maybe I mean in his podcast self and not as a stand-up.
Sure. Well, okay, so here's the thing with Rogan for me. I like how we're just doing a whole tour de California on all of these topics. This is very fun, actually. But yeah, okay, so for Rogan, I think he says idiotic things, like,
all
often.
The time.
Yeah, often. And when I first got into Rogan or started listening to him, I was like, this guy is so fucking annoying and he sucks so bad. Like, he had this one stand-up special where, like, his peak bit was making fun of a woman who was put as the guard at the White House. And, like, the one time that the White House got broken into was when there was, like, a female security guard on duty. That was, like, his whole bit. And it's like, yeah, Steve fucking loves this shit. Look at him.
I haven't heard the bit, but I'm thinking of my own as you explain the premise.
I mean, the bit is literally like, what were you doing putting a woman there? That's, like, that's the whole bit. And it's like, it's not deep. And I mean, it's so not deep where I understand part of it is that it's supposed to be, like, ironically not. I don't know. Anyways, I'm with you on him being a piece of shit and sucking and saying dumb stuff a lot. However, okay, I appreciate his pursuit. I appreciate his pursuit of having a space where people can come on and just talk about things. You know, it's kind of similar to what Steve and I try to do here, except I feel like Steve and I honestly are smarter than Rogan when it comes to, like, the shit that we let come out of our mouth.
Literally everything. So my problem with Rogan is, like, I have heard great guests on his, you know, they will talk about stuff, which puts me on a whole new, you know, rabbit hole of finding out interesting stuff. But it has nothing to do with him. And I hear... One of the things that really makes me feel uncomfortable listening to a podcast is when I can tell that the guest is embarrassed. and he can't, and I'm just listening to this guest be so embarrassed to be having this dumb conversation, and he's just going on and on about, like, whatever. And that has happened so many times that I, you know, the podcast is like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's so long.
He will have, like, some, like, the number one ranked paleontologist in the world or some supreme expert in some field on, and he'll be like, so what do you think about DMT? And it's like, Rogan, ask him about dinosaurs.
That's so true. That is so true.
I've heard him say so many times, like, with, especially if they have comics on, he just always disses women. Like, he's married and he has a family, but he always disses women. He has this thing that he goes into with about, like, how women are always after the money and the divorce. And, you know, I used to practice divorce, and I have, like, a very good understanding of, like, why community property laws are the way they are, and, you know, how a domineering man can take a business that two people started together and just use it to, like, hide from his family. And then in the divorce, act like, well, I was the one making all the money while you did everything else. And listening to him, and it could be just my personal experience and my knowledge, but hearing someone speak as though they have knowledge about something that they so clearly have no fucking idea what they're talking about for such a long time is really such a drag.
Well, yeah. I think he's talking about his personal experiences with friends of his in show business that were rich and famous celebrities,
right?
Whose wife wasn't, and then took all their money after the divorce.
Yeah, that one time that he talks about so much.
Yes, that one time, Or also the fact that all of his friends are fucking douchebags. Sorry. Right. And they have, it's like, oh, you mean the wife that you picked for purely no other reason other than them being hot doesn't have a lasting bond or connection or care in the world? Well, about
turned out she was a gold digger. Who knew? Yeah.
Well, not even turns out she was a gold digger. Just like, I'm making a lot of presumptions here, but if your relationship isn't built on real shit, then yeah, it's probably going to fall apart.
Just think about it this way. I'm a model, okay? Pretend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a model and I meet some very wealthy guy. And because of the way that he has to run his life, if we're going to have any kind of stable person in the home, and I'm not just going to be like, you know, oh, you're Tom Brady and I'm Giselle or whatever, and we're just both going to be like fantastic all the time. That's not the dynamic. Usually it's, you know, a model. That's that agreement to get married and to be where that man wants you to be when he wants you to be there is an absence of income and a stopping of your career that you made a decision to do, and you get to get something for that.
Yeah, but you get to get half.
You know, they don't get half. All you get is half of what the person earned while you were together. And the theory behind it is that that person's success while you're married is something that you contribute to because of the fact that you support them and are married to them. So there are men, and I will tell you this happens all the time, where they will stay married so that they can try to hide money so that they'll have less. And sometimes they get away with it. Sometimes they just end up staying married longer, and so it's more money that they owe the other person. And you know, if you're that concerned that that's going to happen to you, like, get a prenup. Like,
oh, I agree.
Let the woman make a decision that's best for her. Mm-hmm. And if you agree to, if you have a prenup and you agree to X, then don't try to get out of it. You know, that, it's business. It's a contract. That's how the whole rest of the world works.
Yeah,
what's wrong with you, Joe Rogan? Get a fucking brain.
I have to.
Okay, good.
I have to respond to the face Steve was making, Claire, when you were talking about women supporting men throughout their marriage and like that being one of the reasons why they were able to make that income. Steve, am I correct in assuming that you were making a that's kind of bullshit face?
I mean, come on.
Okay, I have a, I disagree with your face.
I disagree with your face too.
I have to say.
You have nice teeth.
Yes, he does have very nice teeth. Just screw the face. Fine teeth. I think my parents split when I was in fifth grade. My dad is an attorney, and my mom and him got together right when my dad entered law school. 1,000%, my mom was a single mom, effectively. When my
dad, talking about normal people.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm talking about super famous, like, if Tom Brady, Giselle's a famous model, so bad example. But if Tom Brady just married a random hot chick and then they divorced 10 years later, random hot chick had zero to do with his four Super Bowl.
Random hot
That's
chick.
Not, you don't know that.
Kid and the house.
I'm going to make that face again then.
You don't know that. That's absolutely not true. You do not know what kind of weird CTE shit he's like when he's at home. You don't know what kind of like emotional support that she provided by being the person that was there for him. You don't know if that man would never have been able to, not knowing that that woman was there at home and supporting him and rooting for him, been able to be anything. Maybe the only reason he even rose to be the professional level is because he married someone who was always saying the right things to him. Is a great woman behind every great man. And that is a fact.
But if we're using that argument, though,
I get that a lot.
I'll concede the point, Claire. I'll concede the point in that case. But if that's the case, then you also have to be like, well, then what? Maybe by that logic, that means Dan Marino's wife is the reason he never won a Super Bowl ring, because she was a bad wife and she wasn't supporting him. So if we're gonna give them credit for Tom Brady's success, I guess it's Dan Marino's wife's fault that he failed. Like, this makes no sense. They're
football
players.
You only get half of what's there. You know, the failures, you know, the failures are, they are taken into account when you get divorced, right?
I am so mad at Dan Marino's wife. It never occurred to me to now. But Danny should have at least two rings.
Dan Marino was in several successful movies.
Yeah, Ace and Ventura.
continues to be a TV personality and has experienced great success because that he never the let one. The fact that he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring get to him, and he never let it get him down. And so that could have something to do with his wife and how she loves him no matter what.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay.
I'm going to give that one to Claire. Claire wins.
Yeah, I know. I will give that to Claire too. I will give a lot of this to Claire. Claire, you're fucking awesome. This has been so fun. I feel like you fit in very perfectly to exactly the vibe we're trying to create on this podcast.
Absolutely. And
yes.
This is really fun for me. I know that I didn't do my job to really defend California, but I feel like it pretty much speaks for itself.
Okay, let's go back to California then. Explain to me how in 2020, in a first world country, in the third largest economy in the world, if it were its own country or whatever the bragging thing is that California, how do we have rolling blackouts? How do we not have reliable electricity in a first world country in the largest economy in that country? This isn't a real state. It's just homeless people, fires, and no goddamn electricity.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Steve, go to therapy.
So
call me online. Find the lie.
Okay. The thing that you need to understand is that one of the problems that the state needs to work on, and I'm not sure if like you, where you live specifically, experiences this, but the electrical grid definitely favors certain locations over others.
Yeah.
So I know that like in the Central Valley of California, they experience horrible, you know, lack of water, lack of power. There are places that California's electrical grid doesn't service in order to make sure that certain places are always serviced.
Do you understand how crazy that is in 2020? There's nowhere in Podunk, Georgia that has unreliable electricity. Every single town in the entire state of Georgia and every city in every state except for California has reliable electricity. It makes
no
sense.
I'm not saying that Georgia is Podunk, but
I am.
If it were, I would say that that's why they have an excess of electricity. And it's about the distribution on the grid. Okay, having a day in California where it is 109 degrees, mm-hmm. and people cannot go elsewhere. You know, that's a perfect day to go to the movies, right? It's like 42 degrees in there. You're sitting completely still in the dark. You can eat up the whole hot part of the day by just going to one of the hundreds of theaters that are within 1 mile of my house. But mm-hmm. I can't do that. It would mm-hmm. be a great day to go get my hair done. I can't do that. So it's every single person not coming together. So
you know where
no carpooling of electricity. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to service this very huge strain on the electrical grid. And I don't think you really
get a sense.
Why
doesn't Texas have that problem? Texas has all the same issues as California in terms of super hot weather, high population, spread out. It's even hotter in Texas than California.
How do you know that they don't have rolling blackouts?
I mean, maybe they do, I guess. But I guess I should Google that. Does Texas have rolling blackouts?
Yeah, you reserve, by the way, Claire, you reserve the right to make points that are not based in fact here.
Oh, yeah, this isn't NPR. This isn't a TED Talk.
I'm an attorney. I try to yes and, but like, because I'm like kind of funny. But really, when it comes down to it, like, I really have a hard time making arguments that aren't based on fact.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to thrive here then.
See the diplomas.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that Steve really has no problem with that. He has no problem saying he's Eric Mickelson. I mean, he's just like living in a fantasy world.
It's a tribute to the man who paid your way, Claire.
Oh, thanks, Eric.
Shout out to Eric. But
that was, yes.
Back to the electricity thing. If I drive an hour north on the 5, I drive past those two big tits on the coast, which is a nuclear power plant that they have decommissioned. Walk me through this, California.
So
we have rolling blackouts and a decommissioned nuclear power plant.
You know, maybe Homer Simpson was the head of that plant that just went down.
But do you see what I'm saying here?
I can't answer facts that I don't know about. What I do know is that there's a lot of danger that comes with operating nuclear power, no matter how efficient it could be. They had a tsunami that knocked out a nuclear power plant in Japan that ruined fish forever.
Fish are fine.
And I'm not sure that we've developed the safety mechanisms that go around the nuclear core to not have a Chernobyl thing happen, because
There's been three nuclear incidents in the history of nuclear power. There was Three Mile Island, there was Chernobyl, and there was Fukushima. Three Mile Island had zero casualties. So now you got Chernobyl and Fukushima.
Wait. Casualties when it comes to a nuclear accident are not measured on the day.
Well, they haven't had a huge increase in three-armed babies either.
The cancer death that comes from high dose of radiation is horrible. First of all, all your skin falls off and all of your organs, but it's never fast enough that you can just die. It's sort of it's peeling and they're failing, and you just turn into this bubble. I think that the reason that you see that there's only three incidents is because each time there's a freaking incident, it's like, whoa, that was really bad.
But it's a lot of emotional content, because you're talking about cancer rates. If there is some kind of nuclear failure, you're gonna have an explosion in cancer rates in that area, like you have around Chernobyl, and you're probably gonna have around Fukushima. Fine. How much cancer is being caused on a daily basis by just the shit that regular power plants are dumping out that we don't even care about or notice? So there's a trade-off in everything.
I worry about that constantly. Mm-hmm. But one thing I can tell you is that if you have a Geiger counter and it is beeping fast, you are actively being killed. And
do you have one of those?
No.
Oh, okay.
Psychotic. But if you go into Chernobyl was in the 80s, right? Uh-huh. If you go into the city of Chernobyl and you have one of those now, and for the next 25,000 years, which is the half-life of that, it will be beeping quickly and indicating that it is killing you. And so this is a huge population center in Los Angeles. It's really spread out, but it's got so many people. San Francisco is incredibly dense. It doesn't have rolling blackouts, but it's also the tiniest. It's a 7 miles by 7 miles, so 49 square mile city. And so when you have you are one energy source and your task is to provide energy to a massive spread out city like Los Angeles, and you throw a nuclear power plant in there, though people that possibly could be impacted by a nuclear accident are, in other words, each person that is exposed to radiation themselves becomes a conduit for radiation towards other people.
Jesus, really?
So it's like COVID-19, except for radiation poisoning. And that can just spread on into infinitum. So it's, I don't know if that's why they shut that power plant down, but if it is why, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Well, let's say.
Forget about the radiated people.
Let's say nuclear is unsolved. Fine. We don't know whether or not nuclear is safe. I think it's safe, but fine. Let's say it's not. So, okay, fine. You just have an empty power plant. Retrofit it with something else. Our state has rolling blackouts in 2020.
Are they that
bad?
You
have an empty power plant.
This
is a real state.
I know. He always ends it with that. This isn't even a real state.
Our state is amazing. It has 15 different ways to get to everywhere, which is amazing. You go to Hawaii and on the Big Island, there's one road. Mm-hmm. And if there's an accident, you can't go anywhere that day because it's one circle road. And if at any point there's an accident, it's between your circle, you need to go all the way around the other way.
You are not actually making an argument in favor of California based on travel logistics when you live in Los Angeles, are you?
I am. I 100% am. I 100% am, because, I really feel like if there wasn't so many meddlers with the flow of natural traffic, like all of Westwood, that's like no left turn. So you're like stuck on Olympic for like the rest of your natural life.
Oh my God. I know. That's, I don't
it
know.
It would flow very nicely. Yes. But unfortunately you have a lot of assholes who are like, oh good, I can take this side street and go 75 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I do not know how you live in LA with traffic. That alone is insane. But if you grew up with it, I guess you know all the ins and outs as much as possible.
It's better now.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to share any of the secrets.
If we ever move there one day, because unfortunately that's what this industry does, it forces you to move to that city, you'll have to give us the inside scoops.
Yeah, and you can rent the other bedroom in my place.
Oh my God. Do you have an open bedroom?
I do.
Oh my God. Okay. Claire and I are going to be best friends, everyone. Steve, fuck you.
Like, you guys don't need me anymore. I'm out.
I do think this is a good time to wrap this up, although it would be very obvious to keep this going forever. Obvious. Easy. I had one beer, and now I can't talk. Beer. We don't have a video component, but if you had it, you'd see me holding up a beer as proof. I
can deal with IPAs, California. They're so nasty in this whole state, especially San Diego, is so proud of them.
Steve, move out of your parents' house and grow up.
Seriously. You're talking about how California is not a real state. I mean, we single-handedly... Us in New York basically pay for literally everything that goes on in this country.
I completely
and
agree.
And Texas.
Yeah, I was going to say, how come everybody leaves out Texas?
No, and Texas.
I know exactly why, but yeah.
Permian Basin. But even the people, and yes, we could talk about this kind of stuff forever, but even the people that are like from the boom towns of Texas, they don't even agree that the way that the resources are being exploited are the way to make a profit. Or, you know, right now, I just have to say this, you can take it out. When Trump gave his RNC speech, he opened with this little weird side comment about how we like the gas prices because they're low.
Mm.
Which totally ignores that nobody is flying, very few people are driving, and there are huge stockpiles of refined oil that we pulled out of the ground in some weird, desperate move to be energy efficient and supply the world with oil. We've done none of that. And the climate, because of all this action, is so messed up this year. Yep. And the price of gas is not because he pulled any kind of diplomatic amazingness with OPEC.
Oh, yeah, duh.
And, you know, like, that's what Obama did. We had really, really high gas prices when Bush was president. And the first thing they tried to do, in addition to, like, saving the economy and whatever, was make the gas prices, you know, more affordable. Get it, like, in the $3 range as opposed to being, like, $5.80 every time. And Trump walks in acting like, how do you like the gas prices? And it's like, you mean because the world is shut down?
Yeah.
So there's an excess supply? Like... Way to take credit for like coronavirus ruining our economy and the resulting price of gas.
Yes, it's absolutely.
So but that does bring me to another point. Fucking gas prices. Have you seen gas prices in every other state?
Yeah,
you just
need
to go to the right places.
This is
right.
Cheaper. It gets cheaper and less cheap depending on where you are.
Oh yeah, I swear.
Well, yeah, Steve, once you cross the state line, it's just drops dramatically.
If you go to like Claremont, that's like an area that's kind of inland for us. If you go to Claremont, it's like
it's about
fucking
20 cents cheaper.
No, it's way more
like
than
a dollar
cheaper. Yeah, it's way more than 20 cents cheaper.
There's a gas station here in Beverly Hills that is $1 cheaper. I mean, $1 more expensive than the gas station on the other side of the street on the same street. Because that's not Beverly Hills.
Oh my God.
And it's a whole dollar cheaper at every level, right? Like,
oh
unleaded.
My God.
And I'm just like, oh man, sucks if you just gotta be going east. Like,
I know, seriously. Man, it's fucking impossible to get to the other side of the road.
You
You're
can't
like,
turn around.
Yeah, I just fucked myself then, I guess. Yeah, dude, I know. Not to mention the fact that Californians are responsible, Steve, and passed a tax increase to encourage multiple things that are all good, I think, for society.
Yeah, we have Tesla.
So not only is the state on fire, Nothing's affordable. There's homeless, mentally ill people everywhere, and I don't have reliable electricity. But they're also going to raise my taxes.
That already happened.
The thing you have to also understand is, like, the people that are, you know, experiencing homelessness by choice, which a lot of people who are mentally disabled, right? They qualify to be on Medi-Cal, and they qualify sometimes to get Section 8 housing. So there are a lot of people that are chosen homeless. You know, you were talking, I think, about schizophrenics, and I know that, like, mm-hmm. there are people who are experiencing schizophrenia who have stable housing, and they just would prefer to be, what did you say, yelling at the moon, barking mm-hmm. at the moon?
Yeah. Right. If you guys live in California, you know the people
and
I'm
so
talking about.
If there is a system in place that is providing mentally ill people with stable housing, and they, because this is a free country, want to expose themselves and yell at the moon, that it does not take away from California's statehood or its provision of resources. It's just mental illness. Okay.
You're talking about the gutter punks in Ocean Beach, the punk homeless kids. They're like, yeah, I'm living off the
in
grid,
Ocean
man.
Beach. Yeah.
Those are free Americans. Don't panhandle, don't litter, and be homeless all you like. But the fucking schizophrenic with no shoes who's throwing trash all over the street and yelling at people and fucking litter, like, just,
yeah, if, likely if, they have
they're
a qualifying
fucking up the neighborhood.
They likely have a qualifying disability that would qualify them to receive Medi-Cal, and they might very well be housed, but they are not cared for.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's a failure of city government.
We definitely, I think, can all agree that the state could do a better job at these things.
Well, I think that the United States could do a better job.
1,000%! It's all a fucking... Actually, I don't know how much you believe in all of this stuff, Claire, but, like... Yeah, 1,000%. There is, like, a massive, massive issue with the privatization of everything that is just, like,
yeah.
fucked over all of our social systems, all of our social safety nets. It is, like,
in
very
Bavaria,
bad.
In Bavaria, they have the castles that, you know, these ancient castles that are on the top of the hills through Germany, and they've actually reconstituted them as homes for... and medication centers for mentally ill patients. And they're not institutionalized. They can leave and come back as they please. But that entire castle is dedicated to the service of people experiencing mental illness who need medication, and they need it for mm-hmm. free. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've got a lot of mountains where we could put, we've got tons of freaking mansions in the Hollywood Hills that they only use to shoot movies at and stuff.
God,
if they just use
this
one
is what
of
I'm
them,
saying about the library downtown. It's so dumb.
Yeah, if they just use one. If they just use
library versus a fucking movie mansion.
It's 2020. Yeah. I have my library right here. Like, fill that with mental health workers and get these crazy people off my streets. Like, this isn't real. This isn't normal. This isn't how things are supposed to be in yeah. a civilized society. And
I'm
everybody
sure you
in California
guys can edit together. To
yeah, I was gonna say increasingly so. I hope Steve runs for office so I can just bring these clips back to haunt him. Okay. We do have to wrap up, but right. This was so fun, Claire. You're the fucking best.
Yeah, keep sending
so
that hate,
much.
Claire. We love it.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I really yeah. appreciate it. And I do send the love when it's deserved.
Yes. Yes, you do. Yes. And we appreciate you supporting us and following us. And yeah, we'd love to have you back on. So we'll talk to you later. And that's it. Thank
Sounds
you.
Great.
Thanks, Claire. That was fun.
Bye.
Eric Nicholson.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Eric.
My hero.
All right, everybody. That was the episode for today. Again, thank you so much, Claire. I would like to encourage everybody to check out us on iTunes. If you want to leave a review, that would be fantastic. I Disagree Podcast. Chances are you found it, else you wouldn't be here in the first place. You can also hit us up on Twitter at the I Disagree Pod. Give us a follow there. Send us your I Disagree mails if you disagreed with Claire. Let everyone give
Ooh,
Claire some.
I love huh? that. I'm going to send an email for this episode.
But yeah, hit us up there if it feels right. And who knows? Maybe we'll have Claire back on again to clap back and defend her honor. But other than that, that's it for today's episode, everybody. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you, Jordan.
All right. Fantastic. Goodbye.